Welcome to the Williams Nikon YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Excuse me?
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. This is my day to take off right away, so I'm kind of really getting ready for breakfast here. Some days I have it, and some days I don't before the call.
Oh, okay.
But today's one of those days before and during.
So what do you do? Where do you work, Doug?
Well, I don't, actually. I'm going to a Bible study today.
Oh.
I work out of my home, and I had been working at Warm Beach Christian Camp.
Mm-hmm.
But I stopped doing that. The amount of work really started dwindling down as the economy went down. There's fewer and fewer campers coming out there. The groups are smaller, and I was a seasonal worker, so I would only get work when there was a lot of people there. So
interesting.
So I'm going to become a volunteer out there, I think, over the long run, maybe starting in January, a small way.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in the program they're doing out there. And there's ways I can contribute, but as a paid employee, it's not working out very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I do, and the rest of the time I support my granddaughter with homeschooling.
Oh.
Out on Camino Island, and just prepare and work on the Nikon enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good one.
It sure is.
You'll be getting a message about Rick coming out here soon.
Yes, I heard him last night on the call,
mm-hmm.
and with Roger Drummer. So that was very excellent too.
That was an excellent call.
Did you guys?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ruth, I put that call on allswell.org under the Freedom Nights link. So that you know.
The Pathfinder call?
Yep.
Is under, can you send me that information?
Yeah, it's just on allswell.org on the Freedom Night link.
Freedom Night link. Okay,
uh-huh.
Thank you.
There's a lot of stuff from Pathfinder there.
Okay. Great. I sure appreciate that.
What is it called? Freedom Light link?
Freedom Night. We want
Night.
Freedom.
Oh. Okay. I got it.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. I listened to it two nap times last night in addition to the first one. I was so impressed with.
It was. Connie up here north of North Central Washington made a copy also and sent it to me on YouTube. But I listened to most of the call. Had a choir practice and then, but I thought it was excellent. I want to listen to it a few more times. Good morning, whoever else is coming on here. Who do we have with us?
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Margaret.
Good morning, Margaret. And what's that, Donna? Who else said good morning?
Oh, Whitney.
Whitney, I didn't even recognize your voice. Great.
No, good morning, Whitney.
Oh. Was that Elena that just said good morning? Whitney.
Yeah, she said hello.
Whitney tells me her baby, who is almost 3 months old, can say hello.
Oh.
I know she tries. She's been moving her mouth around. When she looks at us and sees us talking, she's been moving her mouth around practically since she was born. Looks at us, she starts moving her mouth. She can, concentrating on it. Our other granddaughter, Sarah's daughter, did that as well, and she talked really young. So, do we have Donna with us yet? I hope Donna's not having a phone problem. So I guess we'll say good morning and talk about some things here, and maybe Donna will be in with us. Here we are on our lifestyle call, and so we've been doing this almost a total year, and we are thinking that, as I'm talking to some of you, that this health style call, did I say lifestyle? This health style call is really like a mastermind, health mastermind call, and has really taught us a lot. As we began with a mission to teach and support the practice of our own and others' habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit, we have learned so much. And so I do feel like it's like a mastermind call with everybody bringing so much information. I just don't know that I imagined there was that much information out there. And then really thinking about it and thinking about looking at the questions that I want to know for the next year. So in order to think of the questions that we have for the next year, let's think about the things that we have, some of the things as we've been journaling. Tuesday is also the day that we think about what we've accomplished and maybe where we want to go in the next year. And so especially thinking about the journaling and what has happened with your health, what you have learned a little bit, let's talk about that a little bit before Donna comes and gives us the lesson that she's got that I think is going to be a good eye-opener too. She sent me some of the information. So anyway, I'll begin with I think a wake-up call I'm really having, and that is a reaction. I've known that I have a problem utilizing sugar and causing my blood sugar to drop and having hypoglycemia type of reactions. But I'm wondering if it's related to my sleep, as I made had the missionaries over for dinner on Monday, and so I made up a little mix that I had been given that was gluten-free. It was called a sweet potato brownie. And, you know, it doesn't have any gluten in it, and it's made by Red Mill. I think it was supposed to be safe. And it did have sugar in the middle of the ingredients. It wasn't really in the top number of ingredients, but it was in there. But, and tasting the cookies that I made, they were really sweet. And I didn't eat but one, and then last night I ate another one. Well, both of those two nights, I slept an hour shorter than my usual short 5 hours. So, and just determined to get better on this sleep thing. And so, I'm wondering if the sugar could have, and also gave me some aches, I think, gave me some problems there, and maybe that is an answer, though I'll have to watch a possible answer to see if that it might be a part of why I don't sleep very long. What do you think, Mastermind team? Anybody else notice anything like that? Or do you think it makes you, some people I think makes me sleepy, but to sleep all night, that seems to be a different story.
One of the things I noticed last night, we had made something for Thanksgiving that was really, really sweet, and it was amazing when we got home from being gone. You know, Thanksgiving's a long time ago, and this looked okay and smelled okay and tasted okay, so I ate it last night. Had a lot of sugar in it. It was just amazing how my body just got warm instantly. It just got hot. And I think you and I have a lot of the same issues, Ruth, that we eat sugar or we eat gluten, and it really affects our bodies very similarly.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting because I was cold, and then I was just roasting to death.
Maybe I better eat some more. I'm freezing. No, I'm not going to eat some more. Thanks, Steve. It is interesting, too, that how it affects us differently. Okay. If anybody have anything else, anything that to tell us that you have noticed in your journaling or the realization that you've done something and another time you've done it again. If you didn't write it down, I don't always write them down, but I do notice when I have a different feeling, either better or worse. Okay, what was it I ate? And as I got up a little early this morning, I was writing about the Hippocratic oath, let food be thy medicine. And so, do any of you others have anything to report that you have noticed?
Well, Ruth, this is Margaret. I've noticed pretty much the same thing that you've been saying. I love sweets. Desserts, and when I do eat something sweet, I have a hard time. I hurt all over. I go to bed and I'm hurting. I think, oh, I gotta get this power bag or something on, but I'm hurting, and I can't go to sleep. And when I wake up the next day, I'm really dragging, and I know that, and I do fine until I break down and have that sugar.
Have you tried having something made with honey instead of with the regular sugar, because now I'm reading that the sugar is GMO also.
I have bought recently some sugar that was grown, if that's the right word, here in this location. So I know it's good sugar. It hasn't been through all this. It's raw sugar. It hasn't gone through all this process. But I haven't made anything. A few times I have put some sugar maybe in something, but I haven't done very much of it. I mean, honey. But that sounds like a good idea, because I've got the honey here. I just don't know what to do with it.
I used to cook with it all the time.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. That was all. Mostly all the sweetener I used before stevia,
mm-hmm.
and before I just pretty much cut all the sugar out. But when I do use sugar, you know, usually I don't make some package, and I use the organic sugar as well. Now you made me think that I better compare how I felt with that. That was probably just plain sugar, and who knows what if it was GMO or not. With how I feel, and I'll try using that organic sugar again, which usually when I'm using baking something, I'll put stevia in to bring it to sort of sweet, but I usually like a little bit sweeter, not very too much, but and so then I'll add just maybe a fourth or a third of a cup in a whole big recipe, and sometimes a double recipe of the organic sugar I get at Costco.
Have you tried coconut sugar?
I never even heard of it. Coconut sugar.
Mm-hmm. I ordered some from somebody from that I saw on the internet, so I have a little bit of coconut sugar, but I'm not sure exactly how you use it. I've tried it a time or two, and it tastes okay, but I don't know exactly what it is.
Wow, you could get your coconut oil in your baking.
Mm-hmm.
You could put some sugar.
I ordered the coconut oil, sugar, and a little bag of flour.
Coconut flour.
But I haven't used them.
I can see how they can make coconut flour.
Okay, except I've used the sugar. Sometimes, if I want something sweet, I've used the sugar instead of the I don't actually have any sugar here, I don't think. Just plain, like I would be at the store. But occasionally I've used it, and it tastes good. But I'm not sure what it's doing. I assume it's okay, but I don't know.
Where did you find that, Margaret?
Oh, I'll let you know. I can't sure right now. I will let you know. I'll check on that and see where I got it, let you know.
Okay. Or maybe the name on it or something.
Mm-hmm. I will. I'll check and see.
Okay. Anybody else want to participate here? Okay,
well,
Donna, go ahead, Doug.
I have quite a bit of different, I have a different metabolism than the rest of you. I tend to really need carbohydrates in the morning. Otherwise, I'd start dragging the day pretty quickly. My body just burns through it, I guess. But one thing I noticed, I've decided as a result of this call to put a lot more vegetable type carbohydrates into my diet and get rid of all the white stuff.
Oh,
you know,
good.
The white sugar, the white bread, even the wheat bread,
mm-hmm.
and more gluten-free stuff. But the thing I found out in the evening that's different than in the past is that I crave protein. And I do have some protein during the day, but I, for example, last night, it was pretty late. I usually try not to eat anything late, but I had a terrible craving to have some protein. I thought, what in the world can I eat? It's time to go to bed. So I got out a can of sardines about 9:30 last night, and that was really satisfying. And really slept good last night, too. So I think my body's telling me that you need the protein for be rebuilding things at night. I'm an active person, so my body, you know, needs to deal with the muscles I've used during the day and so forth. So it seems like I'm just getting back in a better balance where my body is telling me what it needs, whereas before I just ate anything, anytime, anyway, and no wonder I was getting in trouble.
Wow, thanks for sharing that.
Hey, Ruth, just ate the coconut sugar. It says Nutiva, N-U-T-I-V-A.
Okay, same.
And they had a special on my coconut oil back some time ago, and you got the sugar, coconut sugar, and little bag of coconut flour with it.
Huh.
That's how I happened to have it.
Okay, thank you, Margaret. Okay. I wonder if she ran out of electricity or something. She prepared and, oops, I can't do that. Prepared and sent me her what she was going to talk about. Matter of fact, I even have her some slides made up for her. Bring one up, I guess. This one you probably recognize, the household toxins in our home. I hate to do Donna's toxin after she got it. I don't have anything else prepared, so I think Donna has a lot more of this. Donna was planning to talk about the household things in the air. I made the candles because I think we're aware of some of the others, but maybe, I don't know that she was going to talk about the different candles that you can use. You talked about the chemicals in the candles. She's talking a lot more about other things than the candles. But the candles are something that I use in our home. I love having the evergreen scent, or mostly the spicy ones are the ones I like to have in my house. And some of them that smell kind of like a potpourri or something. And she will bring out, and she does this talk, just mentions the candles. And because that was the one that I particularly know that I have in my home, I pulled up a few pictures of the candles and the essential oils that are sometimes put in our air. I put the perfume one on here too, no wonder it makes you sneeze. But I also put these on, maybe some of you have some information about the scented candles that are not made from chemicals. Do you know? And so I have here, it's on my slide, which not most of you are not even on the WebEx, and that's okay. It says I have safe scent, and the others I have household danger with those that are made from chemicals. But does anybody know if the candles that are made like from beeswax, like I have these on the picture on the slide, are those safe? Or are you like me? You don't know either.
You know, I read somewhere that it was safe.
Did you, Whitney?
Yeah, I saw, because I looked it up because I was wondering what candles were made out of.
Uh-huh.
And I found a few brands that were just, that you can buy in the store.
And they said non-toxic or something?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Look on the label. And so did you, so you are already aware that some of these candles were not making safe air for you and your baby and your family.
Right.
Or you were suspicious, at least.
Yeah, I was curious to know what they were, because I don't think, a lot of them are not made out of beeswax. A lot of it's made out of mineral oil substance.
Right. They have mineral oils, and they have a list of things in them.
Yeah, like a lot of them are toxic 12, and I thought, well, if it's bad for your skin, then it's probably bad to breathe.
Good deduction, I think. Now, what are some other things that you have removed from, or not agreed to have in your home, so just especially since you have the baby now? And probably, I know you were starting on all these things when you were pregnant with, even before you got pregnant. So what are some of the things that you don't have in your home? What do you use instead? Are there any other? Like, do you use aerosol sprays?
No.
Probably don't know what those are. We never used them before, did we?
Yeah, I think I got one and I started out to use it. So we used to put like bleach in the toilet to clean it.
Uh-huh.
And now we have some kind of organic thing that we drop in the toilet to clean.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of is it a liquid or powder or what?
Yeah, it's just only put in the top of the toilet.
Uh-huh.
Toilet bowl.
The
tank. Yeah. And it brushes the water or something, then we'll know.
Does it keep it from getting a ring in there?
Yeah.
Oh, good idea. Anybody else? Have you been removing toxins? And Whitney, continue, please, if you have something else to say. But anybody else have anything that you have removed from your home? Found that it was
okay? Yeah, the issue came up about laundry detergent. We have a little closet in our hallway where my wife keeps the vacuum cleaner and those type of things. Laundry detergent, we keep it all up on the top shelf because we have, you know, a four-year-old that comes to our house sometimes if you get any stuff. But I noticed every time we opened that door up to get something out with the laundry detergent that was stored in there with something from Costco. I don't remember what it was exactly now. I would just feel nauseated right away.
Huh.
So I finally told my wife, don't get that laundry detergent anymore. There's something wrong with it. Nothing should bother you like that. So she started getting this Tide laundry detergent in these little capsules that are basically sealed. They don't have any odor to them at all until they get in the water and start doing their thing. So I don't have that situation where I can't walk by the closet whenever the door's been open, you know.
Well, I think Donna will have something probably to say when she does the about the chemicals. Does that make you wonder why they have to seal it and what is it? Then it's going to get in your clothes.
Yes, I know.
I
know. I thought about that, but it's at least it's an improvement. It keeps it down in the laundry room. you know, so because we don't have laundry in our apartment, we go into the room down there. And sometimes my wife goes to my daughter's place, and I don't know what she uses for laundry detergent. You know, our family is slowly getting influenced by all of this, but
Shackley. I mean, we don't use all the cleaners, but we still use the basic H. That's where we really became aware of a lot of the toxins and how babies could get all rashy and itchy if they had different laundry. Which had people that when they changed and used basic H, then their baby didn't have diaper rash and that type of thing.
Yes, but, we have a longtime friend that was in Shackley and still gets the products and still is convinced they're the best products in the market. And I talked to him a little bit about it. I'm convinced that the Mekin products have gone through some development that the Shackley probably haven't. And it could have been at one point in time Shackley was really one of the best products out there. But I'm wondering if they've really done their the research and development like Mekin has done.
Well, yeah, I'm not, I've done a little maybe better reading of the labels. I think I mentioned that on a call and stopped using some of their products as well. And it didn't seem to
Yes, I did notice that.
You know, as you were mentioning that soap, it made me think a good example of how some of these products are for us is to walk down the cleaning aisle at the grocery store. When any of you have any reactions when you walk down the cleaning aisle at the grocery store?
Yes, I do. I don't go there.
Why not?
I don't. I have a reaction every time I walk down that aisle. I don't go there unless my wife really wants to go there to shop or something, because she's visually impaired, so she needs me to look at the stuff and find it. But other than that, I just avoid that aisle 100%.
Well, I do avoid it quite a bit because it makes me sneeze. Anybody else sneeze when they go down that aisle?
Yeah, it makes me sick too. I can sneeze occasionally, but usually it's just kind of getting a little bit nauseated. I just feel like I'm getting sick and get out of there quick is my feeling.
That's a different, that's a different reaction. Margaret, what was that? You said something?
No.
Oh.
I do sneeze sometimes when I go down that aisle. But no,
that was
me.
Oh, Steve?
Yeah.
And did you want to
say
something?
Yeah, I like all the rest of you, I avoid that aisle. It just makes me sick.
Yeah. Well, what, makes you nauseated also? I've never heard of people getting nauseated from allergies, from air allergies. I just think that is different, but it's certainly a reaction. It just shows that all of us don't react the same. But it also shows that, you know, we talk about all this air but and what's in the air, but we certainly don't see anything when we're walking down the aisle. We don't see anything in the aisle. But it's obvious that it's there, and there are things in our home as well that could certainly cause some problems in the air, and in our clothing, and Mary Lou was talking about in our furniture yesterday, and how everything's, the fire retardants are out there getting into our air and into our bodies, how dangerous those are. So, you know, that's about all I have to say about that, and if anybody else has anything, you're welcome to speak up, but I'd like to have an idea of what you want to know. I think I have it written down here. What are the questions that we want to have answered in 2013? Trying to find my things that I was... One one of the things I've been thinking about also is we have people who we say Hippocrates, as I said earlier, said food be thy medicine, and I'm hearing that people have a hurt. There's the people who have all these different kinds of aches or pains, and so if they hurt, is it going to be an apple a day? And what we've learned is that instead of having an apple a day, people figure, no, mama, grandma, the TV and the doctor knows more than the mother. And so what does the TV and the doctor say? Take two pills to make the hurt go away. And where does this practice take us? To a toxic liver. Well, so then your liver gets toxic. What happens then? Well, pretty soon it can't hold all those toxins. They're all going everywhere else. And you have worse pains and hurts. And so more pills. And then to a sick and diseased body. And you know, with Nican, we have the answers to these problems. If people will change, if they will listen to us instead of the TV advertisements trying to pump drugs into us, then we can maybe cleanse our body. Okay, so that led me to think about what Joan has been telling us about juicing. And can juicing, and this is one of the things I want to learn in 2013, is can juicing really cleanse the toxins from my body? Then maybe I wouldn't be reacting to these things as much if I didn't still have too many toxins in my body. And what is going to work best? And I'm not talking about a long fast, but just maybe some short one-day fast once a month or something, and see about what I can cleanse out of my body and what different level would that take my health to? That's one of my questions. Anybody else want to know anything specific that they want to find out to make their health better?
I'm interested in that area too. We do have a juicer that Jack Willing wanted something my wife got a bit before we joined Nican, because she heard on some TV program or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
That was really a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got some of Dr. Blaylock or Dr. Brownstein, both of them I think recommend blending the vegetables. And we used the juicer some, and I just didn't like it that we were throwing so much stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, the fiber, you throw out the fiber, and I was telling my wife, I think I need fiber rather than to take it all out and throw it away. And if we could figure out something to do with it, I mean, it'd be all right to juice, and we couldn't really figure that out. So
I'm not a garden, but I guess you can make animal food for it. But I agree. I that's where I've been, too, Doug. I've been using the blender and thinking it's better to have the fiber. Matter of fact, one doctor that we listened to and were taught when we were in our other network marketing business, his name was Dr. Scala, and he had five food groups, and the fifth one was fiber. You have to have, your proteins, and you have to have your vitamins and your minerals, and I don't remember what the other four were, actually. But the fifth one, I remember, was fiber. That you had to have that to be healthy. And he wasn't like out trying to sell Shackley or something, but he was just a nutritional doctor. And so I will have to ask Roger Drummer that. So,
does
anybody else have anything to write down that we want to learn in 2013?
Well, speaking of Roger Drummer, this whole concept of homeostasis is something I don't know very much about either, and probably could find out things from Roger's website. And I think I did sign up for his newsletter. I went over to his website the other day when I discovered that he had one. But there seems to be a whole realm of stuff that Roger talks about that I don't know much about.
I guess we better... I'll get signed up for his newsletter. I didn't know he had a newsletter.
I think
okay,
so.
Okay, how to maintain homeostasis? I think that is an excellent question for us to ask. And then juicing, juicing with or without fiber.
I guess another question I have is about food combinations, whether there's, I've kind of run across in the internet that there's a little bit of controversy about that, where some people say you shouldn't combine certain things because the enzymes fight each other, or it overwhelms the body by having too many things going on at the same time. But perhaps the digestion product takes care of that by dumping, you know, all the enzymes in there. I don't know. It's a question mark area I have. You know, whether to kind of eat things, mainly carbohydrates, and balance the carbohydrates, you know, with the acidity and so forth. And then when you have protein, you have something to balance it out, but pick something that's not going to conflict with the digestion process. And maybe, Ruth, you know a lot about that because you've dealt with digestion issues. But I don't know.
Those are good questions, Doug.
I don't know what things to eat together and whether it makes any difference.
I can't, and I think most people can't, if you eat too high carbohydrate or particularly sugar, before you eat your protein, you just wiped out all of your hydrochloric acid in your stomach trying to get rid of that sugar.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then you can, and then the protein's harder to digest. Some proteins are anyway. I mean, I'm talking about meat, probably.
I've had low stomach acid, too. That was the cause of my acid reflux.
Everybody thinks
they have
too much. That's something we should make clear. Acid reflux.
Yeah. I learned from Dr. Wright's clinic about that, and that was really an astounding revelation, because the advertisers make you think totally the opposite.
Well, then they make it worse.
Yeah, really. And I was actually on medication from one of the medical clinics, and I found out within a month through Tahoma Clinic that I was doing absolutely backwards from what I should be doing. And it got rid of the acid all right, but it also compromised my digestive system so much that I would have went into malnutrition in the long run.
Okay, and so we should say acid reflux equals low acid, and we should talk about that a bit.
Yeah, in a lot of cases.
It may equal.
Yeah, it may. It depends on your system, and that a lot of people are taking the wrong thing. And I even wonder if my stepfather, he was always popping real AIDS, and he wound up with throat cancer. And that's what he died from at a fairly young age. And I just wonder if he was not treating his problem the wrong way for just many years. Didn't know it.
Wow. Our son Matt was always having that the acid reflux, or what else do they call it? I think he was calling it something else. And he changed his diet. Now he doesn't have it anymore.
I know. I don't have it much either. A little bit. And wearing the neck band has helped me too.
Oh. That's a good thing to know. Well, you know, if you're eating a lot of sugar and carbohydrates, well, that's going to cause you to be acidic. Okay, well, I think our time is about up here and more than that. Does anybody else have anything that they want to put on this question, want to know list, or anything else you'd like to say about the call today? We missed Donna, that's for sure. Anything else? Okay. You guys have a great day. Make the most of this beautiful looking day out there. We've got some snow actually on our grass. So a little bit. And so have a great day, and we'll be here tomorrow, and I'll be talking to you.
And thank you, Ruth. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Winnie.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.